Hello.
Ah. Well, Omi Tofo, thank you all for coming on this beautiful day. Think of all the things you might have done, but you have come here to hear the Dharma. And today I'm going to be speaking about karma. And this is a very complicated subject. I'm covering a lot of things, but I try to make it as accessible as possible. It's a little bit like herding cats talking about karma, but we'll see how it goes.
大家好，非常感谢大家今天来。大家今天有很多可以，天气很好，可以做很多其他事情。但大家今天很感谢大家今天来。那我们今天要讲的主题是因果报应。这是一个非常复杂的话题，那我尽量让它变得更简单易懂。讲这个话题会像是管理那个猫一样不容易，但是我会尽量尽力让它更加易懂。
Okay, so today we are going to explore the whole dynamic of karma as far as we can get, what it is, what it isn't, and why it's important. And so to start on the simple side with a passage from the beginning of the Dhammapada, which says, phenomenon are preceded by the heart, ruled by the heart, made of the heart. If you speak or act with a corrupted heart, then suffering follows you as the wheel of the cart, the track of the ox that pulls it. Phenomenon are preceded by the heart, ruled by the heart, made of the heart. If you speak or act with a calm, bright heart, then happiness follows you like a shadow that never leaves.
所以我们今天要探讨的话题是因果报应。什么是因果报应？什么不是因果报应？然后为什么它是非常重要的？那么开头呢，我想简短的介绍一下法句经的，我们南传法句经的一个简短的摘要。现象是从心开始的，受心支配，由心造成。如果你的身与意是有染浊的心的话，那么烦恼会跟随着你就像牛车跟着牛一样。现象同时又是由心支配，由心造成。如果你的身与意是清净的、安定的、光明的，那么快乐会跟随着你像影子，从来不离开。
If speaking or acting is karma, as this passage from the Dhammapada seems to say, then karma would not seem to be so complicated. Just act well and things will go your way. But it's not that easy, as we'll see. We have to look closer into what phenomena are and what is in the heart and what it means to act before we can know and understand the complexity of karma. The investigation of what makes us tick and how we are in the world is essential.
那如果我们只看法句经的这两句经文的话呢，我们会觉得说，我们只要观察自己的身与意，那么好的事情就会发生。那这看起来是非常容易的，但是如果我们更仔细的观察我们的身边的现象，我们更仔细的观察因果的话，我们会觉得好像不是这么容易。那么我们就应该更仔细的检视身边的现象，然后更仔细的检视心和我们平常的业来检视，来理解为什么是这么复杂。
So the Buddha declared, karma should be known. The cause by which karma comes into play should be known. The diversity in karma should be known. The result of karma should be known. The cessation of karma should be known. The path of practice leading to the cessation of karma should be known. Beings are the owner of their karma, heir to their karma, born of their karma, related through their karma, and have their karma as their arbitrator. Karma is what creates distinctions among beings in terms of coarseness and refinement.
那我们就是引用了一个南传的审查经里面的这么一段。 因果报应是需要被了解的，因果报应的因需要去被探索和了解，因果报应的复杂多变需要被了解，因果报应里面的果需要被我们去探查了解，怎样停止因果需要我们去了解，停止因果的所修的道需要我们去体察了解，我们需要去成为因果的主人，我们需要成为因果的继承者，我们生于因果，我们因为因果而联系，然后因果又成为了我们的主宰者，因果是区分人的细致的还是粗略的一个品质。
So the Buddha tells us what constitutes karma. So the Buddha says, now, based on what line of reasoning should one often reflect that I am the owner of my actions? So right there, as in the Dhammapada, the Buddha is very clearly stating that what karma is action itself, not as, and we'll get into this later, not the results of the actions necessarily. It's how we are acting in the moment. So, I'm the owner of my actions, heir to my actions, born of my actions, related through my actions, and have my actions as my arbitrator. Whatever I do, for good or evil, to that will I fall heir. There are beings who conduct themselves in a bad way in body and speech and in mind, but when they often reflect on the fact that bad conduct in body, speech, and mind will either be entirely abandoned or grow weaker, and the passage goes on to say, then they can mend their ways and curb the effects of their action when they really reflect on what they're doing.
那接下去在经文中佛解释了什么组成了因果。如果我们按照刚才的逻辑来说的话，如果我是主宰者，我是我造的业的主宰者、继承者。生于我造的业和那么我做成的事如果是好的或者坏的，那么如果有人做了有染浊的身与意，那么他们如果他们再回头去看的话，那这些坏的身与意会渐渐的变得在实际情况中会渐渐的变弱。
The Buddha continues and says, a disciple of the noble ones considers this, I am not the only one who is the owner of my actions, heir to my actions, born of my actions, related through my actions, and have my actions as my arbitrator. So even here in a Theravadan text, you can see the action of interdependence, this awareness of that, you know, we're not alone, that our actions affect other people and vice versa. So, whatever I do, for good or evil, to that will I fall heir, to the extent that there are beings, past and future, passing away and re-arising. All beings are the owners of their action, heir to their actions, born of their actions, related through their actions, and they live dependent on their actions. Whatever they do, for good or evil, to that will they fall heir. When he or she often reflects on this, the factors of enlightenment of the path, they take birth. And he or she sticks with that path, develops it, cultivates it, and with that path develops it and cultivates it, and the fetters are abandoned, the obsessions destroyed.
那么这个变弱的原因是因为我们每个人造的业都是互相交织，互相变为其他人的因果。然后如果我们每个人能够思考这些因缘因果的话，那么就能够渐渐的放弃掉这些不断造业带来的后果。
So karma then simply means action. Karma is who we are beyond whatever names or concepts we would like to attach to it. We are what we do. The question is, are we aware of what we are actually doing in any given moment? Ajahn Sucitto, a Theravadan monk, makes the statement, I don't make karma, karma makes me. And this is much like when Thich Nhat Hanh states that when you go into a clothing store, you don't pick out a tie, the tie picks out you. Both of these statements point to the claim that to a greater or later, lesser degree, we are running on automatic pilot, unaware of what's around us and unaware of our motivations. So if we get to understand our actions better, how we act, we'll be better able to take charge of our lives.
那所以说从上面这段话来看的话，所以因果报应指的是业，它不一定是业的结果，所以它仅仅指的是业。那么所以不好意思，所以说如果因果报应指的是业的话，那么所以说，我们就是我们做的造的业，那么现在的问题就是我们能否意识到现在当下我们每一个当下所造的业，Ajahn Sucitto。是一个南传的尊者，他说我不造业，业制造了我然后我们的一行禅师也说这个因果的类比就好像说你去了一个衣服店，然后你并没有选择那个领带，而是那个领带选择了你那这两个说法是他在说什么呢？他就说好像我们好像是坐在一个就是自行驾驶的飞机上，然后不知道如果我们不去管如果我们不去观察的话，就不知道为什么这些事情发生，这些事情因为什么而发生。然后如果我们能够去仔细观察我们的行为的话，我们应该怎样做，那么我们会更好的控制，而不是坐在一个无人控制的飞机上。
So this talk is an effort to provide or suggest a karmic toolbox that will help us understand what karma is and how we can work with it. And so to talk about karma, in a sense, in a very observable way to understand it, is to talk about character. Either we're building it up, purifying it, if you will, or destroying it, defiling it. So there is a saying that goes, what I think I will say, what I say I will do, what I do will become my habit. My habit will become my character, and my character will become my destiny. I like to say that like Darth Vader.
Destiny.
Thus, karma plays out in how you understand and deal with yourself and the others in the world.
那我们今天来这个主题就是说想给你一个工具箱，一个因果报应的工具箱，能够让你去帮助什么是因果报应，然后怎么样在生活中去处理因果报应。那我们刚才这样探讨因果报应，其实就是探讨人的品质，怎么去进化或者提升人的品质，还是所以说我们有一个著名的谚语，就是说我想的东西我会去说把它说出来，我说的东西我会去在行为上做，我做的事情会成为我的习惯，我的习惯会变成我的品质，我的品质会变成我的命运然后这里我们就是 Harry 很幽默还说了一下那个星球大战的那个Destiny 所以说因果报应 就是帮助你去理解和处理你自己你的品质和这个世界。
Okay. So I will do my best to cover the inner workings of karma, so to speak. But in the interim, I want to talk about the meaning of karma when it's misunderstood and the label of karma is misapplied to a variety of situations. So let's begin with a popular idea of karma. So almost anyone in the East or West has heard of the word, has heard of karma. And if you do a Google search, you'll find it comes up almost 300 million times. It's just behind Zen. And it's ahead, more hits than Buddhism, and a little bit more than Buddha himself.
Wow. 所以我们会探讨因果的原理然后但是在我们探讨这个它的正确的原理之前我想先跟大家梳理一下我们通常对因果报应的一些误区不论是在东方还是在西方其实大家对因果报应都耳熟能详如果你去看谷歌搜索因果报应它的英文单字是 karma 它大概搜了13亿次比西方众搜那个佛教还是佛陀本人都要多所以说它仅仅是落后在禅后面一位
You can find karma mentioned in movies, newspapers, and even advertising. And it is not just confined to references to Buddhism. It has become a common word in the English language, and it has been in the Chinese language for centuries. But when karma is used in this general sense by people of a variety of religions or no religion at all, what does it mean? And what does it mean to Buddhists? Is it something that can be experienced, or is it simply an object or a belief?
那我们经常在电影报纸或者广告上看到这个因果报应或者说报应这个词它不仅仅是指佛教在英语里面也非常普遍，在中文里面我们也经常说遭报应了这样。如果因果报应是在更广阔的这个上下文里面它到底是什么意思呢它对于佛教徒又是因果报应又是什么意思呢Sorry. 所以说因果报应是你可以经历的吗还是一个你必须要信仰的一个东西
So if we approach the average man or woman in the streetand ask them about what their take on karma is, they would say it's vaguely something like fate or destiny or determinism. So someone will say, I got a parking ticket. I guess that's my karma. Of course, they could have paid attention to where they were parking in the first place, but it's a convenient excuse.
那如果我们去大街上问什么是因果报应那可能有人会说哎呀我又遭到了一个罚单我觉得这可能是我的报应那他们如果一开始就很注意很认真就在对的地方趴车的话那么他们不会收到罚单所以这是一个有时候报应成为了大家一个方便的借口
But what about we practitioners who use this term frequently? How clear are we about what it is or isn't? There's a simple explanation that karma comprises our actions, which is what we've been saying all along. And we'll get into this a little bit later, but people often take karma as the effect of their actions. When we practitioners use karma in the strictestunderstanding of the word that it's an action that's initiated. So we might understand it as striving to be a good person, as I mentioned before, but we're going to get it deeper into the workings of karma and see how complex it can be.
那如果是我们在座的我们修行者呢，我们对因果报应有多少了解呢？那因果我们刚才探讨说因果报应其实就是由我们的业组成的，就是再强调一下，它不是业的效果，它是业本身。然后所以说，那对我们通常的佛教徒或者修行者来说我们就努力变成一个好的人，努力做善业但是其实这业又是非常复杂的，所以我们接下来会讲一下怎么去理解业的复杂。
All right, to continue a little bit more with the misapplication of karma, it can be used, the term can be used to complain or to make judgments. If we deem someone to be evil, we say that karma will not let him or her get away with their nefarious deeds. Karmic retribution will show them the error of their ways. Sometimes we wish that karma was not also pervasive, as when we cut corners, we lie, or do something that breaks the precepts. In that case, we try to justify our actions in some convoluted way, and we hope that karma, as if it were some personified force, will look the other way. People also will look at someone who has suffered a tragedy, and they may think or say that, well, that was that person's karma. They had it coming. And this is, of course, a gross misunderstanding of karma and a very ungenerous way of applying it.
那我们还是想说一下常见的误区，因果报应里面一些非常常见的误区。我们通常来用它来做抱怨，或者是去对其他人有偏见。如果我们很讨厌一个人，觉得他很邪恶，我们会说我希望他遭报应，我希望他的那个业报会告诉他是多么的错误但是另外一些时候呢，我们又希望说，我希望我自己不要遭报应哦，我如果我不小心破戒了或者怎么样。那我们会找一个理由说为什么我做这件事，然后默默的希望说因果报应好像说它是一个人格化的神一样，它会一不小心看其他的地方然后就让我们不遭这个业。其实这些都是对因果一个非常一个误解，就觉得他是一个人格化的神，就一直在看着你。
So, karma may also be understood in an almost theological way, as if there was a God or some mysterious external force that metes out judgments. Or on the other extreme, karma may be entirely dismissed as irrelevant, because materialism admits of nothing but this life and no spiritual repercussions. In this talk, I don't really have time to go into the history of karma and how it exists in other traditions, but it's interesting to note that at the Buddha's time, there was a teacher by the name of Purana Kashyapa who said that he could go up one side of the Ganges, killing, raping, and plundering with no ill effect, no karmic effect, and he could go down the other side of the Ganges, bearing gifts, helping people, and performing sacrifices, and he would gain no merit. This is not a Buddhist view.
因果报应在很多不同的哲学里面，或者神学里面，它不同的宗教里面，它都会有不同的理解和阐述。那有一种阐述认为它是一个神，一个上帝，或者一些神秘的外力，它来测量和丈量我们的判断。但是还有一些哲学和宗教，它会走其他一个极端，它觉得因果报应是无关的，它可以就比如说唯物主义，他觉得就没有因果这件事情。在有一个极端的例子是 在佛陀的时期啊，有一个啊，有一个不承认因果的人叫啊，sorry 啊 ，Purana Kassapa 啊，他说我可以啊到啊恒河的一岸就无恶不作啊，就杀人啊，放火啊，然后到另外一岸呢，我又对人很好啊，我又帮助其他人啊，我又做牺牲啊，然后。这样就会互相抵消，然后没有任何事情。
So the Buddha, of course, understood the importance of one's actions and their ramifications, and the danger of being unaware of how karma works. He said that someone who had an improper understanding of karma would be powerless to act. How would they know what to do if either everything is determined by a supreme being or everything is meaningless? Buddha said,When one can't pin down something as a truth or a reality, and one can't know what should or shouldn't be done, one dwells bewildered and unprotected.
那我们的佛陀他理解说去理解一个人造的业和他的作用是非常重要的。如果不理解的话又是非常危险的。如果你就是有以上误区，我们刚才谈论的误区的话，那你会觉得非常的无助。在一个极端，你会觉得哦，反正因果已经命里注定了，已经有一个非常强大的一个外力注定了因果。那还有一个极端，就是说反正都是没有意义的，都是唯物的，根本没有因果这件事，那你会觉得非常的无助。那我们的佛陀就说，如果我们不能理解真相，如果我不能理，我就不知道怎么去，什么是应该做的，什么是不应该做的，那么就会疑惑。
Okay, so karma is a very abstract teaching and concept. So I wanted to.Give you some sense of a concrete example. And to that end, I brought some volunteers with me. You can see they're exceedingly excited. First volunteer is somewhat shy. I'm sorry. Come on, no. They're friendly. Is that okay?All right, so here he comes. This is Dharma Bear, right? Please take a bow. Right? And he's a practitioner. As you can see, sincere. He can sit in full lotus. He can have good posture. And when he uses his method, what are you thinking? No mind. So you see, it's clear, a very clear bear. Now,So the story begins with Dharma Bear, who's really been a very good practitioner. But in the past, he had some nefarious dealings, right? So this may catch up with him. And he made the mistake of borrowing some money from a notorious, internationally known criminal mastermind, Fluffy the Bunny.Right, so you can see how ferocious this bunny is. And so the bunny wants, what do you want? Revenge! So the bunny is going to commit a karmic act, right? So now we're going to break down how this works. So the first, we have an intention, right? Which is revenge, right? It's one-track mind, right? So...The second part of a karmic act is a plan, right? So Fluffy has been observing Dharma Bear secretly, right? You know, various, you know, he knows his modus operandi and where he goes and when he goes. So he's going to assassinate the bear because he's shows no mercy, right? So now we have...That setup. You want to translate now?
Sure. Yes, sir. 那这里我们有两位义工来帮助大家更好的理解因缘哈。 我们有一位义工小熊，他是非常认真的来修行，然后他可是他他非常认真的修行，但是他不小心呢向一个非常邪恶的银行高利贷银行借了一些钱。那我们的银行是由我们邪恶的小兔子义工小兔子来运营的。那我们的小兔子呢，他就说那你借了我那么多钱不还了那我要报仇所以说我们这里就开始探讨那个就是因果运作的五个方面。第一个是你的意图，那么我们小兔子的意图就是我要报仇。那么第二个是因果报应里面一个方面是规划那小兔子说我要暗杀义工小熊。
Okay, so everything is starting to line up. We have the intention, we have the plan, and now the execution. So Fluffy grabs his weapon, which happens to be my cell phone, right, hiding behind the corner, finds Dharma Bear peacefully sitting there, just minding his own business, but his fate is about to change irrevocably. So he turns the corner and goes, poof, shoots. Now, what happens to Dharma Bear? He's hit. He wobbles. He falls. And how are you?
I'm dead.
So the bear has been murdered. And so the execution of this karmic act was successful. And now this is one possibility, right? And we'll just follow this for a while. So then there is what we call that showed the result. So when you make an act, you don't know when you commit an act, when you perform an act, you don't exactly know what the result will be. So in this first case, Fluffy was a dead shot and killed the poor Dharma Bear, right?
Ouch!
But in the second scenario, get your gun, right? So in this case, he was just, ow, is it just his arm, he's wounded, right? So then he's lying there sort of in a state of shock. So let's take the first scenario. The bear has been killed. So we now have, after the result, we have the look back. So Fluffy could say, he's dead. Good. I'm glad. So that's that he incurs even worse karma for the intention is reinforced by his reaction to the act that he's committed. Or he could say, Amitofa, what have I done? And he could carry Fluffy to the hospital and get doctors and help him to recover, right? In that particular case, the act would be mitigated by his reaction to what he had done. So once again, the five parts of a karmic act are the intention, the plan, the execution, the result, and then the look back, how you feel about what you've done. So take a bow. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, 那我们刚才两位借助两位小义工，我们阐述了一下，就是因果报应里面什么组成了一个业的完整的事件。那么一个是意图，一个是规划，我们已经说了我们的那个小兔子想第一个是他的意图是想报仇，他的规划是想要暗杀这个小熊第三个是一个在这个事件里面是一个执行那我们执行可能有不同的结果。那么就是我们这个小兔子就打了那个义工熊一枪，义工熊很疼啊，他说 ouch， 然后那他有不同的结果，第四个就是结果，那么我们有不同的结果，那么 可能就是熊，可能我们的义工小熊可能就一不小心就被打死了那我们的第五个是你对这整个夜的事件的回顾。那么小兔子可以跑进来说啊你死了，然后很开心，那就是这就加重了这个业报。那么还有一种可能的第四个结果就是我们的小熊会可能打在那个手臂上，然后第五个是回顾的时候呢，那小兔子可能就觉得就有所忏悔，他觉得带熊回去医院。那就是这就是不同的两个第四个第五部分结果和回顾。
So as you can see by the above example, most of these events were mental, right? There was the physical execution of the poor bear, but everything else was about the intent and the evaluation of the event. So most of what karma is about is intention, how we feel, the felt meanings of our actions. So when we look deeper into karma, then we have to start getting into the way that mental and physical events transpire, how one thing affects another. So you have to look at a very deep level. So bear with me as I will talk about some of the components of these acts. So the first thing that we have to talk about is conditions themselves. This is the most basic component of any event. And karma is comprised, among other things, of causes and conditions. So remember, each one of those events, the intention is a condition, and because of that condition, there was a plan. The plan led to an execution. The execution led to a look back, and to a result after the execution, and then an estimation of what is done. So we first begin just with the baseline of a condition. And a condition, very simply, is something that exists upon which the existence of something else depends. It's very hard to get a simpler concept than a condition. So the world may move in endless cycles, and so there are conditions are continually arising and falling, but sometimes we look at an event, and we want to know about the beginning of the event. And that's when we talk about causes and conditions. Sometimes we're looking to see how an event ended up, and then we talk about causes and consequences. But both causes and consequences, they're all conditions. They're all these something upon which something else depends.
好。那如果我们看我们上面说的一个因果事事件的五部分的话，我们会发现很多的都是你的心在起作用。比如说一开始那个小兔子他说我要报仇，和他的规划，他都是那个心在起作用。那第三个执行只是一个他延续的一个部分所以说它都是一个延续的，然后第一个部分会需要下一个事情会依靠上一个事情的存在而存在。那如果我们把那个因果报应的事件，如果我们更深的去衡量它的话，我们会发现它的组成部分其实就是一个一个的圆就是缘，就是因果事件的最最基础的它的这么一个组成的部分，组成的一个单位，它是其他所有东西都依靠存在的这么一个部分。这个世界呢，可能有很多很多的事件发生，有很多的一个缘，然后有另一个缘发生。那如果我们希望说去追溯到一个事情为什么发生，它的开头的话，那么我们会讨论佛法角度，我们会从因缘的角度去讨论就是说就是我们 从开头去追溯啊、这个一个缘造成下一个缘。那如果我们想要了解一件事情它最后怎么样了，那么我们会从因果的角度啊、但是不管是因缘还是因果，其实最基本的组成部分就是缘。
Okay, so to give you some more perspective on conditions themselves, because remember we're talking about the building blocks of this concept of karma. In the Visuddhimagga, the path of purification by Buddhaghosa, he lists 24 kinds of conditions that can affect an event. And only two of them, karma and the effect of karma, have to do with the teaching of karma. So events can be affected by other phenomenon. And, but the Buddha did warn not to use karma as an explanation for everything. He talked about issues with the body, unrelated physical events, and even the weather as possible causes for events. So the Buddha said, those recluses and Brahmins who speak thus, who hold this view, whatever a human being experiences, whether pleasure or pain, or neither pleasure nor pain, all this is by reason of what was done in the past. They go beyond what is personally known and what is considered as truth in the world. Therefore, I say these recluses and Brahmins that they are wrong.
那如果我们就是就更仔细的去看这些缘的话，那么上座部有一个一支他列了一位他列了一位法师，他列了24种缘的种类，但是这24种呢只有两种是跟因果报应有关的但是他们非常重要。但是佛陀确实警示了说我们不应该把因果报应作为解释所有事情的这么一个因素。他说我们的身体或者不同的天体现象啊，或者天气现象啊，都可能造成不同事件的因。所以说我们经文里有说现在Sivak 那些修行者和婆罗门，他们如果宣布说一个人的所有的经历，所有的快乐和痛苦，或者是不苦不乐这些都是是由过去的业造成的他们就是我这些婆罗门，如果他们说的这些话的话，那么他们是错误的。
Okay, and here's another passage where the Buddha essentially says, don't mistake the physical events for what's going on in the mind. And he concludes, there is the case where a trifling evil done by a certain individual takes him to hell. Right, I'm just skipping. There is the case where the very same sort of trifling deed by another individual is experienced in the here and now, and for the most part barely appears for a moment.
所以说他有更多的一些
what? This is just a refinement of what, you know, you could just read this part, the wrong, yes, exactly.
那就是说我们不能就是说就是因果能解释所有的事情，那他佛说这些说法都是错误的，就是说如果你做了一个恶的事，然后你马上就会进入地狱然后
just right there, there's the case.
It's okay.
Yeah.
那所以说就是说佛在这里强调了我们不能把因果报应作为解释所有事情的一个原因。
Okay. Yes. This the first one was from the Samyutta Nikaya, You know, these are from, this is Nikaya Buddhism, and the second one is from the Anguttara. Anguttara, another one of the Nikaya, the basic, you know, yeah, this is, all right, so as I said, karma is complicated, and what makes it complicated, in a sense, is somewhat simple, in that there are physical events, and then there's our understanding of what's going on in the world, which is already somewhat distorted, and then our own image of how we are a participant or a non-participant in these events. So there are various layers of how we're experiencing the world, and it's because of that that we get passages like this from the Buddha, where he wants to correct people's sort of taking karma as being black and white. It's very nuanced.
那我们刚才所说的一些经文呢，是因为佛陀想解释给大众说，因果报应是非常非常复杂的，它不是非黑即白的，所以说我们需要把不同的因素都考虑进去它是因果报应是非常复杂的一件事，所以我们刚才说的经文就是为了阐述这些观点。
So this passage shows that a clear awareness of action can avoid pitfalls. The idea that the holy life, good practice, it's really about being aware of the feeling and intention of one's actions. So I want to, yes, go ahead. No, it means it has to do with your attachment to Well, yeah, and then to take this out a little further, I think the idea is what you do is you start to realize that what you're dealing with is the symbols in your mind. You're dealing with a kind of world that you've created. So if you take some, you know, incidental slight from someone, you know, someone calls you an upstart or something like that, and you get very angry about it, right? You look, you're not only aware of the moment, but you're aware of how the moment can unfold. So it's a dynamic understanding. Otherwise, you would just be walking, you know, the light would turn red and green, you wouldn't care. You would just be aware.
But he's saying you should cultivate that attitude so that it would be less likely to make a mistake of getting angry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. And you break things down down into components. So, all right, and I want to do one last thing. I think the animals have one more performance left in them, just to show another example of how conditions work, and some of the complexity. But hopefully, it'll be made a little bit more palatable by their performances. And this next teaching comes from the Sarvastivadin school, which later became consciousness only, where they listed four conditions for anything to exist, right? So, I'm doing this just to once again present this as a way of making you aware of the dynamics of how we perceive the world. So, of these four conditions, the first one is a causative condition, and that one's divided into six parts, and I'll go through it with the performance, and maybe it will be a little more understandable. So now the performer is Fluffy here, and from that last performance where he was, remember, he was an assassin and a murderer. Well, now using my special effects, he's going through various rebirths, spinning, turning in time, going, rising up to the heavens and down to the hells. And finally, after a whole kalpa, he lands in kind of a human bunny world with this bodhisattva vow that he's going to become a doctor.
Okay. 那好，那我们刚才解释的就是说，我们在生活中要 注意到因缘因果的复杂性，那么我们就会变成变得非常的能够觉察到我们的行为，然后就在生活中能够更少的比如说有人骂你的时候，你会更觉察到，然后更少的生气。那么接下来我们想更仔细的探讨一下因缘的就是我们南传因缘里面有四缘六因这一说然后它也变成了唯识的一部分那我们接下来是要我们的义工小兔子上场他我们的义工小兔子暗杀了那个小熊以后呢他经过了久远的劫难，他上天入地，去了地狱，然后又因为一些因缘呢去了天堂，然后经过了各种劫以后，他想变成一个医生。
Okay, so Fluffy has the Bodhisattva vow. You want to help all sentient beings, right? And become a doctor. That's his motivation. So.In order for this to become real, in terms of just the causation, certain things have to be in place. One is what's called a concurrent condition. This is explained as if you want to draw a line from A to B, B has to exist for you to draw the line. So there have to be medical schools and teachers and doctors and patients, for that matter, so that Fluffy can...eventually be able to practice his profession. Then another of the causative things is the seed condition, that there is deep within Fluffy this faith, this determination that he can succeed. And the example is that rice produces rice. Faith, goodwill produces more faith, more goodwill. So that's the second.Then there is the associative condition. People are, and bunnies, are complex, right? So in past lives, Fluffy was a gambler, and there's still some of those habitual tendencies. So an example given to explain this particular condition is when a gambler gets all this ill-gotten gain, but he gives the money to a church. So there's a kind of balancing. It's not that one necessarily cancels out the other, but the karmic force of the deed gets attenuated. And then there's the universal conditions. Basically, when anything transpires, there has to be the four elements, fire, earth, air, water, and with the addition of space, space for the action to happen, and consciousness.And the final of the root causes is what's called ripening. Everything, Fluffy had to save his money and had to pass college and to fulfill a bunch of things before he can be at this root cause ready to continue.
那如果我所以缘是有四个缘第一个是因缘，那因缘又可以，所以四缘六因嘛第一个缘就是因缘，那这个因呢，因缘的因它又分成六种因就是它如果是我们比较古语的比较正统的方法是能作因、具有因、同类因、相应因、变形因、艺术因，那我还是就是比较白话的翻译一下那个就是 Harry 他讲的不同的因第一个是第一个因是你自己内心的就是动力第一个是比如说这个小兔子他想当医生，那这就是一个能做的这个动力的因第二个就是相应的因就是比如说这个小兔子他想当医生，那需要有医学院不同的就是设施，那这就是相应的一些因第三个是应该是能作因，然后就是比如说米饭能 变成米啊，就是能做银。那第四个是就是同类因，就比如说这个小兔子它过去是有赌博了，但是它拿来赌博的钱它又去做善事，那可能这些就互相就变成它这一世的一些积累的因果。第五个是我们叫变形因，是就像地水火风啊，像空间啊，最后一个是艺术因，就是它需要就是不同的，它需要我们小兔子需要存钱，然后需要等这些成熟了，他们才存够了钱，他可能才能去上医学院。
So this shows, we've done, this is just the cause, and just shows the complexity of what goes into just things beginning. I mean, think about, before I even opened my mouth in beginning this lecture, all the things that had to be in place for this to even start, the building, the materials to build the building, all of the people who've come here, all of the people who've studied, and once again, one could go on for a long time, but there is a great deal of complexity just in what may seem to be a simple act.
那我们具体去探讨这些因是想说明，就是就算是非常简单的一件事，比如说我在这里就是给一个talk， 然后但是我在这里就是周末奖金这是非常简单的一件事情，但是有非常多不同的因来促成我们要我们要在这里有一个我们有一个道场我们要有不同的菩萨从不同的地方今天来到这里，所以如果你仔细去看的话，因缘是非常复杂的，要一件看起来非常简单的事发生的话，是需要非常多的因。
Okay, so now we've had the cause, the root cause, the seed is in place. So now there are three supporting conditions. The first one is called condition for development. So there's Fluffy about to engage on his medical studies, but what he needs is support. So there are other people in his family. You can see they've come, his friends. They're supportive. They're, you know, they encourage him. They keep him on the right track. You know, his grandfather here, or whoever that happened to be, they're all just making sure that Fluffy toes the line and is committed, right? So that's the the condition, right?
那四缘里面我们讲了第一个缘是因缘，那第二个缘就是增上缘。那增上缘就是那些帮助我们或者阻碍我们的条件的缘。那比如说举个例子，我们的义工小兔子，那他的因缘是他说我想当一个医生。那他的增上缘是什么呢？那其中一个增上缘就是他的家人都非常支持他他们就做自己能做的所有事情去支持他，那这就是增上缘。
Okay, and then the next condition is called the condition of continuity, right? So here's Fluffy studying in medical school. So here's Fluffy being very diligent, but if Fluffy doesn't persist and plays video games like he's doing right now, right? Playing, what are you playing?
Solitaire.
All right, he's playing solitaire, you know, totally sort of lost track of what he's doing. He's not really going to succeed in his plan.
那所以第三个缘，四缘里面第三个缘叫等无间缘，就是不断的坚持不断的连续的这么一个条件，这么一个缘。那我们小兔子他有因缘，他想当医生，他有那个增上缘，他有家人支持他。但是如果他没有等无间缘呢？如果他不停的玩手机，他在手机里不停的玩我们的纸牌游戏，那他可能他不可能去医学院当一个医生。那这里就没有了第三个我们的等无间缘。
And the last condition is called the object as condition. That is that there has to be a goal to be reached. And so this is, of course, in the relative world, if we're angry, we have to be angry about something. If we're going to be want to become a physician, there has to be hospitals and a position for Fluffy when he becomes a great surgeon or whatever his intention is. That has to be possible, so that the entire intention can reach fulfillment. And the bears are now going to go back. Thank you, everyone. Take a bow, and we'll see them later. Okay.
我们的义工向大家鞠躬。所以说我们探讨了前面三个圆，那第四个圆第四个圆是所缘缘，就是也就是缘的对象。那你必须有一个你需要达到的目标。那我们如果生气的话，有一个你生气的对象。那我们的小兔子他想当医生的话，那就需要条件说有医院去让他最终去行医。那这就是我们的所缘缘。
Okay, so now that we've talked about conditions a bit, the next level up in seeing the building blocks of karma, so to speak, is to understand cause and effect itself. This is the most basic level of any kind of formation in the mind. And the way it's explained in Buddhism is as conditioned arising. And there's a very simple formula for this, that when this is, that is. From the arising of this comes the arising of that. When this isn't, that isn't. From the stopping of this comes the stopping of that. Or if this doesn't exist, that can't exist. And that's, this is a universal phenomenon experience. Everything we do is in a conditioned world. Everything was built by someone else. We share language, food, everything is interdependent. So this idea of conditioned arising is very important, and of course leads to an understanding of emptiness, which I'll speak about in a moment.
我们刚才讨论了因缘的部分，那我们想讨论一些接下来讨论因果，也就是缘起。我们刚才探讨了四缘，那缘起是一个就是佛教术语，那它的意思就是所有的事情都是因缘合而成的，它是任何事件的一个基本的组成部分。那我们的缘起呢，就是有一个俗语去解释它，就是此生即彼生，此有即彼有，此灭即彼灭。那就是说所有的事情都是因为其他的另外一件缘，另外一件事情那这另外一件事情呢，又是依靠了其他的事情。那么这个因果就是所有组成所有事情的一个基本组成部分。而这个缘起的概念，这个所有事情都是因缘合的，也最终导致了我们非常重要的佛教概念，也就是空。
Okay, so everything depends on everything else, as I mentioned, and that something else depends on yet another thing. Everything is contingent. Once again, in talking about this subject of karma, you can see that it touches every other teaching in Buddhism. That's another reason that it's somewhat complicated. But also, it's important to understand that cause and effect, as it's understood in Buddhism, is a little bit different than it's understood in the West. Because cause and effect are understood as being inextricably linked, whereas in the West we think you push a bookshelf and the bookshelf falls over, and the first event sort of disappears and the next event happens, and we tend not to see how they're interrelated.
那我们因缘它非常复杂的还有一个原因，是因为我们探讨因缘的时候有时候会一起探讨了佛教里面其他非常重要的部分和术语。那有一个比较常见的误区我想澄清的是，在我们比较现代西方的观点去探讨因果的时候，他是从那个他就觉得说，哎，我推了一个书架，那么书架倒了，那他觉得这个事情的因就没有了，有的只是书架倒了这个果，这因一旦发生完以后就没有了。那其实它因缘它是非常一件事叠加，一件事是在另外一件事的基础上，然后这件事又在另外一件事的基础上，它是非常互相依靠的。所以我们要看清楚这个非常复杂的互相依靠的互相依赖的这么一个本质。
Okay, so I have a lot of material and I'm going toskip to the sort of towards the end because I'd like to have some questions and answers because it's not simple. But one thing I think is of some interest, people have heard probably of karma as being a law, right? And so I just want to address that. Is karma a law? And I find it to be an important question in the way we understand what karma is.Many teachers refer to karma matter-of-factly as a law. They even use the adverb lawfully when something comes to pass according to an understanding of karma. Now, Sherfu, Master Shengyan, describes karma as a law in his book, Orthodox Chinese Buddhism. And some teachers like Mayahasi Sayadaw refer to it as theory,And then there are other teachers like Thich Nhat Hanh and the Tibetan teacher Traleg Kyagban who say that karma is absolutely not a law. And I find that somewhat interesting, and my take on it is that there's really not a contradiction there. And, go ahead.
那我们想最后留一些时间给大家提问题，所以我想跳过一些部分，然后我想探讨一下一些比较有趣的部分，是就是说我们不同的高僧大德在阐述像对不同的听众阐述因果报应的时候，他会有不同的表述，就是我们的师父会说，我们的师父在他的我们的师父在书里说因果报应它是一个定律，然后呢如果你看其他的比如说南传的尊者马哈希尊者，他会说因果报应是一个理论。那我们的一行禅师他会说因果报应它不是一个定律，他我们还有一些藏传佛教的仁波切，他甚至说我们完全不应该把它看成一个定律。
So as I said, I don't think there's a contradiction in these views, just a differentiation in emphasis. When Sherfu talks about karma as a law, he is emphasizing the inviolability of cause and effect, the way a good meal will assuage hunger is a metaphor that he uses. It's kind of a certain outcome in that sense. And he's emphasizing that one takes on the responsibility of one's action. When Thich Nhat Hanh says that karma is not a law, he is emphasizing the freedom of will we have in accepting karma and then acting appropriately. We can't do anything about the present moment of what we've been handed right at the moment, except to be in it fully. And we can do a lot about the next moment if we are clear about what is the best course of action. And karma can be presented as a theory because it's not easily understood or accepted, but one can lay out the tenets that purport to explain how it works.
那我们刚才上面的说法，他们到底有没有互相矛盾呢？就是我们因果到底是不是一个定律，是不是一个因果律，还是它完全不是一个定律呢？那我们师父说因果律是一个定律的时候， 我想回去一下，就是我们 Harry 他的意思是这些高僧大德他们不是互相有矛盾，而是他们着重强调的重点是不同的。当我们的师父他说因果律是定律的时候，他强调的是责任，他强调的是因。不可避免的会带来果就是一顿好的饭会缓解你的饥饿，这个因会不可避免的带来果。那师父我们强调的是你做每一件事它不可避免的，你要为你做的事情造的业负一个责任。而我们的一行禅师他说因果不一定是一个定律的时候，他说的他强调的是另外一个重点，他强调的是虽然虽然因果它是一个定律但是我们的心是我们是可以主导自己的内心的，我们是可以接受当下的一个因果，我们是可以非常自在的接受当下，而我们可以去选择下一个当下我们会去做什么最好的业来得到好的果。所以说还有包括说不同的说法说因果是一种理论的时候他的意思是就是他给了一个支撑，然后让不同的人去运用它所以说这些说法都不是矛盾的，他只是强调的重点不同。
Okay, another interesting question. Do you have to believe in rebirth if you're going to accept karma? So the Buddhist scholar Jonathan Watts makes the point that the whole focus of the 12 links of dependent origination, which is something I was getting at, that's really what conditioned arising is, should be understood not so much as the rebirth of the self in another body, but the continual rebirth of the ego in this body, in this lifetime over and over. And of course the Buddha said, you know, oh monks, know that every moment you die and are reborn. And that is what he was talking about.
那还有一个大家经常提的问题是你必须要相信轮回才是接受因果的吗？就是我们有一个著名的学者 Jonathan Watts 佛教学者，他说如果我们要去透彻的理解十二因缘的话，我们不一定要我们不一定要从轮回的角度去理解它，我们可以从一个人在每一个当下它都是不断的生和灭的我们的佛陀也说过类似的话，他说各位比丘你们要记住，你们每一个当下都是往生然后再重新生的。
Okay, so the Buddha addresses some of these concerns and allows for intelligent doubt. Now this is in the Kalama Sutta. So the Buddha says, suppose there is a hereafter and there is a fruit result of deeds done well or ill. Then it is possible that at the dissolution of the body after death, I shall arise in the heavenly world, which is possessed of the state of bliss. This is the first solace found by someone who is looking at just this life. How is an understanding of karma helpful right now? The second, suppose there is no hereafter and there is no fruit, no result of deeds done well or ill. Yet in this world, here and now, free from hatred, free from malice, safe and sound and happy, I keep myself. This is the second solace found by him. And now the third. Suppose evil results befall an evildoer. I, however, think of doing evil to no one. Then how can ill affect me who do no evil deed? This is the third solace found by someone who is looking at just karma in this life. And finally, suppose evil results do not befall an evildoer. Then I see myself purified in any case. In other words, he has kept his mind aware, open, and is not, not being subject to greed, hatred, or ignorance. And so this is the fourth solace of someone who's looking at karma in just this life.
那我们的 佛陀他也涉及了这个问题，就是说，如果一个人他不相信轮回，他是否能够接受因果？那佛说是这样的，如果一个人他接受说如果他这一世做的好的事情他他这一世做的好的事情有好的结果他会他没有轮回，他去了一个享乐的世界。那么这个这是第一个安慰。第二个是如果没有果如果做的事情没有果的话，但是在这一世我知道我是没有恨没有恶意，我是非常安全的好的保全了我自己，那这是第二个安慰，这是对一个这一世相信因果的人的第二个安慰。第三个是如果行恶的人如果有恶的话，如果有恶果的话，那我就会不作恶给其他人，那这个就不会影响到我，这是第三个安慰。第四个是如果恶没有恶果的话，那么我仍然觉得我是我进化了我自己，我提升了我自己，这是第四个安慰。所以这就是佛陀解释了，如果你不相信轮回，但是你依旧接受因果，它能给你带来的一些好处。
Okay, I just have a couple more things to dispense my karmic obligations. So in Orthodox Chinese Buddhism, Shurfu, of course, affirms of the concept of rebirth, and there is, of course, in traditional Buddhism, an understanding of lifetime after lifetime while we are in samsara, still enthralled to karma, not clear in our minds about what's going on in reality, more living in our own heads. So what determines karma? There are three things. One is what determines rebirth. It's karma itself. The weight of all of our deeds, good and bad, done through this lifetime and multiple lifetimes. And that is often explained as what causes someone to be pretty or not so pretty, smart or dumb. A whole variety of attributes is sometimes attributed to that understanding. The second thing is our habitual tendencies, right? Because of the patterns that have evolved in our minds and are continually reinforced by the way that we see the world. We're bitten by a dog, and then we're afraid of dogs. And the more we see dogs, the more afraid we are, and it just keeps cycling and reinforcing itself. So those habitual tendencies are also present from one life to another until we deal with them. And the last thing is the state of mind at the moment of death. The idea that is that if your mind is in a peaceful, calm state, you can have a favorable rebirth, and if not, it will be less favorable. And that may or may not seem fair, but if you look at the way your whole life is transpired, and also know that you do have the possibility of clearing your mind and having people around you at the moment of death, that's another, that's the complete realm of karma.
那我们刚才探讨了，如果对一个人他不相信轮回，那他因果报应对他带来的益处。但是我还是想阐述一下我们的传统我们的大乘佛教对因果对来世的一些阐述有三个因素，它会影响你的来世。第一个是你的这一世和你的往事累世所造的业。第二个是你的习性，那比如说你被狗咬了，然后某一世被狗咬了，然后可能以后很多事都怕狗，然后直到你去这直面它。第三个是你死往生之前的一个状态，一个心理状态。
And finally, I don't even think I had to talk about it. Everyone has heard of good and bad karma, you know, bright and dark karma, according to how you act in the world and what's in the intention in your mind. But it's very important to understand that there is a third type of karma, which is the karma that ends karma. And how does one accomplish that? That is practice. That is following the Eightfold Noble Path of right understanding, right intention, right action, right speech, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. And that kind of karma, those kind of efforts are really why we're here today. And so I want to thank, I'm going to stop here, and then we have some time for questions.
那我想提我们大家都说我做善业，或者那个人造了一个恶业，但除了善业和恶业，还有一种业，它是停止它是能帮助你去停止在因果报应轮回里面造业。那这个就是我们的八正道，也就是正见、正思维、正语、正业、正命、正精进、正念、正定。也就是我们今天大家来这里的一个原因。我想留一些时间给大家提问题，谢谢大家。
Okay, anyone, any questions? Yes.
You gave the example before, in terms of, pushing over a bookcase and having the bookcase fall,
right,
in terms of cause and effect. You said that's kind of the Western way of looking at it, is we don't see it as being interdependent. Can you kind of show us how that would look in terms of an Eastern way of thinking? Or
yeah, right. I think it's a good question. And, you know, to understand that, you have to really look at Nagarjuna and his the way that he explains that cause, that there can be no effect without a cause, right? And there can be no cause without effect. And there's a more elaborate understanding that the cause, they have to exist at the same time, because if they didn't exist at the same time, there would be no interrelationship between them, right? And if they are one and the same, then there's no need for a cause and effect to transpire. This is not an easy argument, but this is in the Mola Madhyamaka, you know, and our, Nagarjuna goes on to say that there's no action and there's no result of action, right? But that he's talking about the that's from the absolute world. Well, that, see, that didn't happen, right? That that thing that fell and there was no sound. If, yeah, right. That's true. Next time, next lifetime. So that's a deeper understanding. I don't, you know, cause and effect are in the West, seem to be, you know, there's much more of a dichotomy between them. Go ahead.
That argument, the thing, that's just about cause and effect and
right,
how they're related. but it's not talking about the goodness that causes good results and the badness that causes bad results so much, right?
Right.
Right. What happens moment to moment, right?
Right. And this, once again, it's very important not to get caught up in this. I mean, because, many of you may be aware of Nagarjuna's teaching of two truths, that there is an absolute view of the world, which is something that the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are privy to, and there's a relative view of the world, which is the way that we see the world. All of us here see the world a little bit differently from each other. And the Buddha, an enlightened person, can exist in both worlds. But as far as we're concerned, we are the owner of our karma. That's the basic Buddhist teaching. We can't really escape that. Sometimes the example is given of someone who commits a murder, but goes to heaven directly because their good karma was such from past lifetimes that it outweighs this particular act. But the teaching is that heinous crime will be accounted for at some point in the future. One of the things that makes karma difficult to understand is the way that it unfolds is very difficult for us to see. And also, I was going to mention this also, that in understanding karma, there's a sutta from the Buddha called the Asantita Sutta, which is about the non-conjecturables. And the Buddha warned about having the mind try to ponder certain things which the mind is not capable of. And karma is one, and just so you know, the other three, one is what the mind of a Buddha can do, what happens in the jhanic states in meditation, and the creation of the universe. So the Buddha said that, you know, this will, it says literally that it will unhinge the mind and create madness. But we should know what we're doing. We're responsible for our acts. It's just, you know, there's a lot of metaphysics behind all this.
那我们菩萨，我们第一位菩萨提问，就是想请我们的 Harry 就是再阐述一下为什么西方的观点对于因果的观点可能和东方的不太一样。那么我们的回答就是说西方的更多的是把因和果看得分得很开，然后可能但是在东方的观点里面，一件事它就不可能把因和果分开，它是同时存在的，一件事发生必须有它的因。那第二个问题是我们菩萨想更多的了解一下善业。 Sorry, 善业会造善果，恶业会造恶果。那我们的回答是，就是说因果它还是非常复杂的。那比如说有人可能这一世有谋杀其他人，那可能他还是会去那个，就是上三界，然后因为他可能。前几世造了很好的业，但是他犯了这个谋杀，可能会在累世以后遭到这个因果的报应。所以说，这个是非常复杂的。我们就是 Harry 提到了一个难传的经典，就是如果我当时找的时候没有找到官方的中文翻译，但是它大致就是说不可说的一个经。那么佛说有四件事情是我们的不可能通过就是理论上的推想去推想出来的。第一个就是因果的报应，其他三个，第二个是你。 不可能推想出佛的心，在想什么。第三个是你不能通过就是逻辑上的推想来推想出那种禅定的境界。第四个是你不能推想出宇宙的起源。就是他的经书里说，如果你试图去用想。 推导去想的话，那么可能会造成疯狂的地步。
We have any more time? Another question? Okay. All right. So, all right. Well, now you know all that you have to know about karma. So, want to thank everyone for coming.
啊，那我们现在大家都对因果了解的更多一些了，然后感谢大家今天来。